So just so you don't forget, this is the first sermon in a series called Window of Opportunity. And I like how our window, we can keep ourselves focused on Christ through looking out our window. And I like how that's set up there this morning. This sermon series is inspired by the book, Who Stole My Church? And it's part of our VCI process. Please remember that the book is available for purchase in Mercer Hall after worship. It's a good book. It is not hard to read. And the study will be a great conversation going on Tuesday nights, and you should be part of it. I think the conversation will be inspiring. My job this morning is to take a moment to look back, to honor the past here at Narden Park. I'm going to do the best I can in the time allotted. This church has an incredible history, and it would take all day to share it all. There are people who have been part of this church for a long, long time. Long time. Let's check it out. If you've been part of Narden Park for your whole life, please stand. The generations. Continue standing, or please stand if you have been part of Narden Park for 30 years or longer. And remain standing for 35 or longer. Okay, how about those of you who have been around for 40 years? Can you remain standing? How about 45? 50? So this is about the time that some of these people either joined us at East Middle School or were part of Old Narden. So we'll keep going. 55. These are the people who came to us from Old Narden. How about 60? How about 65? And for those of you who can't see them, they're up there in the balcony too. These people have helped to create the history of what is now Narden Park. These people were cornerstones when we moved from Detroit to here. These people have been around for, I don't want to say anything about how long it might have been for some of you, but you've been around for a long, long, long time. You can all be seated. You can all sit. Our church history goes back over 125 years, and I'm pretty certain none of them were around that long ago. When the church, the Nindy Church, was started in 1886, our history includes other churches that merged together over time, the Tracy Church, the Simpson Methodist Episcopal Church, and the Grand River Church. By 1927, all of these churches were part of what is now the Narden Park Church, or what many of us refer to around here as Old Narden, and it was built in Detroit. The first service was held there on December 2nd, 1928. I don't think anybody was around in 1928. Were you were you at that very first service at the old church? Were you at that first service? Some of our members who were at Old Narden would tell me some stories. So here they are, just to give you a little bit of feel for it. The one that made people laugh the most, and I'm not quite sure I got all the details, but there was a Scottish janitor that had an apartment in the church, who apparently had a great liking for his scotch, and people knew it. And there must have been a gym in Old Narden, because to these, some of these folks, in their memories, they had the best basketball teams in the league. Those same people remember having to go out onto the baseball diamond to pull the acolytes in time for worship to start. Don't you wish you were hanging out on the baseball diamond? Sorry, I lost my place when I got on the baseball diamond. In 1948, the annual conference of the Michigan Methodist was held in the sanctuary that, after delays during the Depression, was finally added in 1943. In 1964 and 65, the church moved from Detroit to Farmington Hills, meeting at East Middle School until the church was built. The first Sunday morning service was held here on September 12, 1965. So who was at that first service? In this building. You guys are awesome. There are so many details if you'd like to read about them. Jim and Annette McConnell, with the help of our historians, many historians, wrote this book, and it's available in the church office. And it was also very helpful to me at this point. Some people love history, and others wonder why waste our time looking back. In his introduction to this book, Reverend Ben Bonsack writes, "My experience supports the perception that congregations who don't know and cannot speak of their own history have trouble forming a clear identity and a unified spirit to move them forward. When we can talk about where we've been and what has happened, we can extend our very best into new circumstances and make instrumental changes that create new eras of effective ministry in the name of Christ." Not errors, eras of effective ministry in the name of Christ. I used to be a scrapbooker. I say I used to be because it was when I had time to do it. I love doing it, and I love memories. One of the things I remember creative memories consultants telling us was to make sure that you scrapbook the difficult times. It is part of who we are, and it shows us how strong we can be. And I think church history is a lot like that. Church has developed personality characteristics. What we have overcome together unifies us, strengthens us. It also makes us realize that the good old days were not without their struggles. Our church has had a few times in its history that have been a little harder. When Old Narden was in the process of being built, the first service was held in that chapel. The people were so excited about their new church, and they couldn't wait to get started on a larger sanctuary. They had already had so many members, they had to have two services when they opened up that building. So they were ready to build a new sanctuary. However, those plans changed quickly when the Great Depression hit in 1929. And the church was facing bank foreclosure in 1936. But through some extensive fundraising and the sale of property, they were able to pull through and even begin the campaign for the sanctuary that was dedicated in 1943. Not only did they go through the foreclosure and get through it, but they came out strong enough to be able to make the plans to build the new sanctuary. I'm going to make an educated guess, based on my own experiences, that in 64 and 65, when we were holding services at East Middle School, it was an exciting time to be part of Narden, watching this building go up. However, I also know that it's a struggle to set up and take down each week for a good-sized church. Sherry Chrysler remembers Virginia Wilson, Liz Linder's mom. Where's Liz? Up there. She remembers that Virginia Wilson was leading the four-year-old in kindergarten room in the middle school sewing room. Karen Roth mentioned hearing stories of Narden at East. She says cribs were assembled and disassembled every Sunday. Remember, travel cribs and play-in packs were not a thing. Sunday school space and supplies were unboxed and boxed up again every Sunday. An altar and sanctuary were created and stored away every Sunday. Narden Park would not be what it is today, she says, if these church members had not been so committed to their church and the vision of what it could be. And some of them are still here. And who was at East Middle School? Who did all that packing and unpacking? And I was part of a church at a school. It's a lot of work. And you were not a small church when you did that. Difficult times also include an embezzlement in the 90s, and I know that there have been difficult staff and pastoral transitions, including this past year. I'm sure my short list of church struggles isn't complete, but we're moving on. Thankfully, like most people's memories and my scrapbooks, the good things are way more numerous and much bigger than the harder times. Music and art and arts have been a big part of who we are. As a congregation, we value and enjoy these gifts and talents. Drama has had a long history here. There is a picture in this book, Our Journey, of a cast on stage, and the caption reads, "As the 1930s drew to a close, Narden Park's dramatists presented the popular musical, HMS Pinafore." There is also a picture of a bulletin from May 28, 1950. It was family worship. It says right on the top, family worship. And the youth presented a play called The Pentecost of Youth. The disciple James was played by Kenneth Heitkamp, who was Reed's father. And Dr. Werner Mumbelow, who was Karen Roth's grandfather and Doris's father and one of the pastors of Narden Park, was the voice from above. And as I found out yesterday, his presence was large and his voice was booming, and he would have been a perfect voice from above. Al and Bev Fletcher remember several plays, dinner theaters, the holiday dinner at John Wesley's house, the Christmas story of the Cratchit family, Jesus Christ Superstar, and Karen Roth talked about Godspell yesterday. They remember that Dorothy McCoskey is right there, was directing a lot of those plays, and she loved what she was doing. Almost everyone mentions music in our memories. It has a long history here. In 1933, Narden Park had an orchestra. And it played on Sundays. It played Sunday school programs. It played public programs. And it played during the church services. In a brief history that Jim and Annette McConnell wrote recently, it says the 1970s mark a time of growth and consolidation for Narden Park. Its music program helped mark the start of a new decade. In 1987, the purchase of this incredible organ was a big deal in the local musical world. And the concert series was started and is currently in its 30th year. In 1992, the Summer Wednesdays at 8 concert series was added to the music opportunities here at Narden. The Fletchers remember some of their favorite concerts: the West Point Cadet Choir, various Broadway performers, the South Oakland Barbershop Chorus, and organists from around the world, and some who even asked to come and be able to play on our organ. Andy Wayne remembers the Sanctuary Choir performing Handel's Messiah and Vivaldi's Gloria. Along the way, there have been numerous choirs. Children, youth, bells, musical talent of our congregation has been and continues to be one of our strengths. We have amazingly talented musicians. Narden Park has a great history of mission and outreach. Going all the way back to the Great Depression, during that time when they were struggling in Detroit, when members were asked to bring canned vegetables and other food goods to the church so they could respond to the requests for food from the people in a very economically struggling city of Detroit. Since then, the people of Narden have been generous in missions. Many adults here remember their trips to ASP. Amy Duntley remembers being in one of the first groups to go on ASP in the mid-70s. She remembers driving Dr. Brown crazy, talking on the walkie-talkies and using their handles to talk to other cars and trucks. And she wants to apologize to Mrs. Call because she wasn't an easy teenager. Thankfully, you both survived. Other mission trips include trips to Costa Rica. We also have mission support for CAS Social Services, for NOAA, for Baldwin Missions. El Buen Pastor was one of the things that we've supported and we continue to support, because I don't know how many of you realize that El Buen Pastor switched to the Centro Familiar Cristiano, for who we bought shoes for this summer. That is that same church and that same mission. Alexander's Food Pantry, Crossroads, and many, many other supporting things we have done with our mission program. In 1990, 17 years ago, we began hosting SOS 1 week every year. We have and will continue to respond generously to national and world crises. Mission work is part of the DNA as Methodists and as Narden Parkers. Christian education and Sunday school, spiritual formation, has always held an important place in this church. Children and youth, young families have always had a place here. I found it interesting that in 1938, the young married class was formed. By 1950, the name had changed to the Christian Home Fellowship. My guess is that they are the oldest group in church, and I don't mean their ages, though, but I mean the longest running group in our church. They have raised families, had Sunday school classes, and shared meals together. Those of you who belong to Regeneration should be inspired by them. We enjoy eating together, Lenten dinners and Easter breakfasts were a highlight to several people when I asked about their memories. Lenten dinners were so big that tables were set up in every meeting place on the first floor. Hostesses made everyone feel welcome despite the large size of the event. And there were some impressive speakers at the Lenten programs, an astronaut, pro sports players, reporters, and a bishop. People remember when Christmas and Easter services were so full that the back windows were open and the chairs were set up in the narthex and even back to Mercer Hall. Now, I had one person say once, they went chairs all the way to the stage. Now, I'm not sure about that, but at least they went into Mercer Hall. Ann Menning remembers a time in high school when the youth would all sit together in the back row of the balcony, and they loved Dr. Ritter. She wanted me to say that. But they thought his sermons were getting a little too long. So one Sunday, 15 minutes into his sermon, they held up letters spelling out time's up. She says he paused mid-sentence and laughed, and they thought they'd accomplished something because he was so hard to fluster. Most of all, Narden Park is family. Mike Glenn says what he thinks is the best thing about Narden Park is that people step up. They step up to help the church. They step up to help other church members. They take care of each other. Andy Wayne says, whenever I was at church, I was surrounded by people of all ages who were my extended family, people whose names as a young child I didn't even know greeted me by name every Sunday. I have always felt loved here. Susanna Brennan says, what it was and what it always will be is a place I can come to connect with friends who feel like family, where I can come to be humbled beneath the glory of the beautiful, magnificent image of Christ, and where I can come and be still and ground my spirit. This church is built on a foundation of faithful, God-loving disciples, people who have committed themselves to being a faith community, a place where anyone and everyone is welcome. We belong to God's household. We are built on the foundation of disciples who have built this place, and Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Christ is continuing to build us into a place where God continues to live. On this Epiphany Sunday, we should be inspired by the wise men. They had studied the stars. They knew the history of the stars, and they knew what to expect. And when they saw something new, when they saw changes, they followed. And they went where God led them. And we should be inspired to go where God leads. The past is like using your rearview mirror in your car. It's good to glance back and see how far we come. And oh, how far the people of Narden Park have come. But if you stare too long, you'll miss what's in front of you. What an exciting journey is ahead of us. Amen.